What's going on, people, man? You're tuning to episode 15 of the It's Not Easy podcast, man. We've got a new face in the building, man. We've got Dan in the building. How you doing, bro?
Bro, I'm good, man.
You smooth, yeah?
Yeah, bro, good. You know, I'm happy to be on the podcast. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
And like I said as well, for those that don't know, I actually said that obviously this year I wanted to get on a podcast and it just comes hand in hand.
Comes hand in hand. How it works, bro.
Yeah, man, crazy.
But how's your week been, though, man? What's moving everything?
Yeah, this week's been good. Had a lot of like meetings, label stuff.
Yeah.
Other than that, like I've been all right, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Just going 100%. With the motions and stuff.
Yeah. So for people like who don't know, like what's your actually no it is. Before we get into that, yeah. That is, yeah. And before we get into all that, let's do some quick fire questions.
Yeah, no stress. Let's go.
Before we get into the deep stuff.
Yeah, let's go.
Before we get into the real stuff, yeah. Quick fire questions, yeah. Alright, cool. This is just one to like see your mindset on things. Time or money?
Time.
Time. Why though?
Because when you die, there's no money.
Yeah. I hear you. Alright, cool. A vacation or a trip with the lads?
Trip with the lads.
You bought the lads thing, yeah?
Yeah.
Like, what's really the nicest places that you've been to, though? Like,
country-wise?
Yeah.
Country-wise, Nigeria.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm meaning to go. You know, I ain't been yet, bro.
It's beautiful.
It's moving, isn't it?
It's beautiful, yeah.
What city did you go to?
I went to Lagos.
Okay, nice, yeah.
Smooth. Think about it all the time.
No, that's it. That's sick still. All right, cool. I'm taking this, man. But yeah, I was going to get into, yeah. People like who don't know, like, you know, what you get up to and the work that you do, like, how would you like and describe what you do and how you kind of got into it as well?
So right now, obviously work for a record label called State Madness.
Okay.
And I work as an A&R, which is obviously artist and repertoire.
Yeah.
But for simpler forms, it's like a talent scout.
So, you know, people,
like, let's say, for example, you're an artist and your song's blowing up on social media. My job is to try to convince you to sign to a label, basically.
Yeah. So, that's quite interesting that you say that. So, artist and repertoire, because I'll be real, yeah, growing up, I thought A&R meant artists and rappers. That'd be so real. I thought A&R meant artists and rappers, like, but yeah.
I'll keep it so honest, even me myself, I only learned that actual abbreviation probably like a year before I started.
That's so interesting. Yeah.
I never actually knew what it meant.
Yeah. And also interesting that you say, so with Mixtape Madness, I didn't know that it's actually like a label as well. Is that true? Yeah. Okay.
It's a record label, so obviously you've got the site to where they post their videos and stuff, but obviously there's a record label behind it that not many people know about.
Yeah.
It's a record label.
Well, that's quite interesting too. So like how did you get into it then? Like how did you get the opportunity and get your foot through the door?
So probably start back from like 2019.
Okay.
Obviously before I started the music stuff, I was doing events and I still obviously do events and
stuff. Okay.
Freshers events in uni, obviously, you know, getting your name heard about. Kind of just started on Twitter, just building my platform.
And,
like a lot of people that I see nowadays, like that are my age, all of us were on Twitter at the same time.
Yeah.
So that everyone that's on Twitter now, like from our generation, was on Twitter. Like, they were on Twitter.
Yeah.
So just posting memes, posting videos and stuff. And during lockdown, I remember like everyone's creative juice was just in the bin.
You had to
kind of think about what you need to do to try to stand out.
Yeah.
And then I started managing an artist.
Okay.
And then I started managing him, I think it was April 2020. And then worked with him for about 6 months. And then I posted a snippet of a song and then it just started going viral on Twitter.
Okay.
And then I think when it started going viral on Twitter, it was about November. And then obviously we got signed to Universal in February.
Wow.
And obviously this was whilst I was at uni as well. But the funny thing about the university I'd went to, I was obviously in a friendship group where two other people had already got their artists signed to record labels as well whilst we were at uni as well.
Yeah.
So it's like it was just crazy to
be honest. That's really interesting. So like, you know when you mentioned so I'd say for context, in uni it's lockdown. How old are you? At this point,
I'm 19.
Cool. Yeah. And then you start doing A&R for this artist. How did that come about? Like, you just shout at him and say, "Yo, bro!" Like, how did that kind of come about?
I shouted him because he was friends with another artist, right?
Yeah.
And that artist was blowing right now. Okay. Like, they're blowing, they're going big. And I just thought, you know what, like, if they're big, if their friend is big, surely they're big as well, if they're hanging around them. So I was like, you know what, let me just gamble, let me see what I do. So I hit them up more on the management side. So I was just managing their social media posts, giving them ideas and stuff.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, it was just one day, I remember I was in my uni lecture, and I wasn't even concentrating. I just posted a snippet, and then I got home and it just started blowing off. Yeah.
Was that on Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Started blowing off. Yeah. So that's quite interesting. Yeah, yeah. So the timeline of it, yeah. So the timeline. So you said that by the in November.
Yeah. So I started managing him in April 2020. So by November, that's when it started taking off.
And he got signed.
He got signed in Feb 2020.
Yeah.
2021. Mm. Yeah.
I've always wanted to ask though, like, you know, the process of like getting signed as an artist. Like, how does it happen on like a step by step like point of view? Like, how does that, like, if there's an artist out there and they're trying to get signed, like, how does it like happen on like email, phone call, like is it meeting in person, is it big tables, like how does that really, like,
at that point in time we couldn't actually meet anyone because it was lockdown, so it's like they reached out to you on like, I don't know, like Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, whatever it is, and then they asked to request a meeting, for example on Zoom or Google Meet. And then you'll talk to the relevant A&R that wants to sign them. And then that's like the first step.
Yeah.
And then the second step would be to send them the song. They'll listen to it. And then the third step is that if they're really interested, they'll probably throw you like a draft contract. Yeah. And then you'll review it with your lawyer and stuff like that. And if it makes sense, then you just go ahead and flow
it. Okay. Yeah. And I find it interesting as well. So like, you know, with the... Okay, so back to the timeline. Instead of the timeline, yeah? But the timeline, so cool. After that, he gets signed.
Yeah.
How are you feeling at that moment?
I'm
your artist business, so how are you feeling, bro? Like,
I'm baffed. I'm like, what the hell? Yeah. I'm very confused because I've never been this person.
So
I'm just thinking of it as, you know what, it's a new experience.
Yeah.
I never even thought I'd be here. You know, I just threw the snippet online just to see what it'll do.
Yeah.
And at this point, at this moment in time, I'm feeling good. I'm like, wow, like everyone's seen what we're doing.
Yeah. Do you think it was from that snippet that, like, got him signed? You think that was the decisive moment?
Yeah, it was that snippet, because when I posted it, it banged off. And I didn't only post it once. I posted, like more snippets, obviously, to keep the momentum.
Different platforms and blog streaming.
So,
just... from there. Yeah. That's it. So then, from him getting signed, how did it continue to grow? How did you keep momentum going?
So, obviously, he signed for two singles and an option to extend. So obviously they signed that song.
Yeah.
And then he did another one. And then he obviously had this third option.
Yeah.
Which he wanted to continue. So like he did that song as well.
Yeah.
So that deal ended in October 2021. So he was with them for about 7-8 months. Yeah.
That's quite interesting that you say that. And I'm a huge like hip hop fan. So like I listen to a lot of like hip hop podcasts and stuff.
Yeah.
And they talk about like deals and the structure of deals. Yeah. You know when you said it signed like a two single deal.
Yeah.
So does that mean that you get signed for a single that you already have out?
No. So that's,
how does that kind of work?
So that song wasn't. I think that song was already out. I think we dropped it independently actually.
Yeah.
And then they signed that song.
What does that mean?
So it's like it was already out, but because of the numbers and stuff it was doing, they signed it over to their. So that song went over to their catalogue and then they started helping out with the promotion and stuff like that.
Okay, that makes sense. Yeah.
I forgot we dropped into
it. That's kind of interesting. So they signed it and then the contract was like two additional
basically. Singles. And then obviously the option to do the third one as well.
That's quite interesting. Yeah. So like, you know when you go to do like that, so like I'm assuming the label is hoping that after this first hit,
yeah,
you can produce another hit,
yeah,
and that will do well, and another hit,
yeah,
and then they get their profit from that, and then you get yours, and then everyone eats.
Like there'll be a conversation if you want to like go and do another deal with them,
yeah,
or like
yeah. You just kind of build from there. That's quite interesting. Kind of build from there. Yeah. So how did the opportunity with Mixtape Madness come about?
So we're still in 2021.
Yeah.
So obviously,
still in uni.
Still in uni.
Yeah.
But this time it's 2021 October, so I'm around my. I think I'm in my last year, right?
Okay, cool. But
because I never expected all of this music stuff to blow off. Like, you kind of don't know your reason why you're doing it.
Mm.
So I was like to myself, "Rah, like, I need to focus on uni."
Mm.
You know, because there's a lot of different things swaying my direction. I feel like this isn't actually what I want to do.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, you know what? Like, if this is for me, then I'll probably find a reason why.
Yeah.
It's meant for me. And I remember uni finished about May 2022.
Yeah.
I wasn't really interested in anything music-wise, or just parties, events and stuff like that.
I think what did you do in uni, by the way?
Sports management.
Sports management, okay, yeah, I hear
sports
you.
Sports management, which has no actual relevance to what I'm doing now.
I guess in a way,
It kind of helps.
I guess in a way, but it's loose.
But yeah, I think it got to about, I think it was April 2022, right?
Yeah.
From what I did with that artist, I just thought to myself, maybe I'm good at marketing. And then me and my friend, we've always been good at, like, obviously building brands and stuff like that. So we thought, let's just build a brand, like a joint marketing agency.
Yeah.
And we had an Instagram page that we didn't really use as much before. So we just kind of converted it to the marketing agency, which we call Dreamscape PR.
Okay.
And the friend that I was doing it with is the other friend that obviously got their artist signed to a record label as well.
Yeah.
And that friend is a sick friend. he obviously managed to get India onto Love Island as well.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, before. Wow. He was actually the manager,
That's quite interesting. Wow.
Yeah,
that's
crazy, yeah.
You know what it is, I think we're in a place as a society, and I guess as a, I guess you could say industry as well, where it's like, being the person who can amplify someone's brand or get them in front of the right faces is huge now.
It's crazy.
It's huge. That you can, like, you can make a serious bread just off being the middleman who gets people there. Oh. You know what I mean? Their, like, awareness, their bag. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
So, and then from there, I'm assuming, the opportunity with Mix It Manners.
That's not even, we're not even there yet.
That's
the craziest thing. So, so with that marketing agency, obviously we haven't got clientele yet. So obviously I'm thinking, you know what, let me just try off a few free services to a few artists and stuff.
Yeah.
Even if they don't rate it or anything, let's at least try to shout
try people. Design, yeah, you know, yeah.
Just show them what I've got in the locker, basically. So
At
this time, off the back of the artist that I had signed to Universal, I came out of a lot of industry contacts. So I'm here posting on Instagram, you know what, I'm a free agent. Da, 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 da. I'm just trying to put myself
it's building.
Up. Yeah, it's building.
So. You know, because that's a big thing on your CV.
Yeah.
Like a Universal, one of the biggest labels in the world. That's a massive thing in your CV off the gate.
Yeah,
so, do you know what I mean? You build from that, yeah. So,
like, these times, like, you're back to square one. Because the set at the top is crazy, you know? So, I'm here trying to, like, show people that I'm doing this and that. And then there's this one artist that, you know, he's actually showing a bit of interest, right? His name was Gino J.
Okay.
And he was kind of building momentum and stuff. And obviously I thought that, you know what, maybe we can work with him.
Yeah.
Because we come from the same background and stuff.
Mm.
And I remember we worked on one song and the song was doing well. And then literally the second song, which was a month after, like, I officially launched the agency, I launched the agency in July 2022.
Okay.
But the second song we worked on with him came out in August
2022. And that's soon after.
Yeah, and that song, he went off.
Okay, yeah. Rah.
And he ended up getting signed to Sony Music Africa.
Rah.
Yeah, so that one, I was just there like, what's going on?
That's quite interesting. So is that, if it's a branch in Africa, have they got a plan of, like, pushing him there? Is it like Afrobeat type of vibe, right?
Yeah, because it was Afrobeat sort of vibe.
Okay, cool.
For the sort of music he makes, it's like they abbreviate it as called Francophone, basically.
Oh, yeah. And that sort of vibe,
He was kind of smart with it because I feel like the UK don't really know how to push that sort of sound.
Yeah.
And whereas he had that sort of French audience after, like, promoting the song, they just said, you know what, let's sign him straight to Sony Music Africa, yeah.
So, like, you know, if these deals,
And
we're not even into the big things yet, but you know these deals, like, how do you as an A&R, like, how do you negotiate your, like, fee? How do you approach that? And how has that grown over time as you've grown in the industry?
So, to be honest, there's a lot of different hacks that you can actually do, but obviously, like, as an A&R working for, like, a majors or, like, an independent record label, like, you can't actually, you know, say, I want X amount of money for signing this song.
Yeah.
You know, like, they kind of base your results off, like, the streams you do on the song.
Okay.
So, like, if you want, like, you can probably get, I don't know, your friend to manage the artist.
Mm.
And then, they can be under your management, and then you can just take your percentage from that friend. Yeah, 10% each or something. Yeah. Because management standard is 20%.
Okay. And is that 20% of the deal, or is that of streams? How does that?
It depends. That if you want a percentage of the streams, you can. Or if you want to take a percentage of the, if you want like a percentage of the advance, it'd be like 20%.
Mm.
And then if there's two managers, you just get 10%.
Mm. It's crazy because I was literally listening to a video, I think it was like a YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
And Offset was talking about he signed, and Migos signed a single deal. And all the period of time, like, you know, they were popping like crazy. Like, you know, that little period when they're going crazy. Yeah. And he was saying how, like, each single was like a 4 million deal. Each single, 4 mil. Each single, 4 mil. Like, it was a crazy little period where, like, you know, when they were going crazy, it was like 018 period, like 17 period, they were going crazy. And I was just like, rah, like, I didn't really know. Heavy that single deals are like a thing, like a big thing.
Yeah.
I always had the impression that you get signed, it might be like a 3 or 4 album deal so on and so forth. So it's quite interesting. With but on the topic of deals quickly, because on, you know, Drake, you know when he dropped Scorpion, he was rapping about how like that was the final like album to get him out of his deal.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think it was like a 6 album deal that he signed with Young Money, innit? So he was rapping about how like as soon as his album dropped, I'm out of the deal. And I was like, rah, like I actually think about rah, man, like if I've got 3 more albums to do, damn, I've got to churn out album. So it's quite interesting to like think about on the flip side, rah, like if I'm locked into this deal, I've got to churn out 2 or 3 albums. You know what I mean? But yeah, onto the timeline though. So after that, so you set up Dreamscape.
Dreamscape.
So Dreamscape is essentially like a management services.
Yeah, management service, like if artist label services. If labels need something, we help them.
Or
we help artists with marketing as well. So at this moment in time, I'm not an A&R.
Yeah.
I'm just a marketing person. Okay. So I came on the marketing spectrum.
Yeah.
So done that, and obviously that's managed to get me in certain rooms, like going Sony and stuff.
Mm.
And that, I think it was October 2022.
Yeah.
Like, that was the first time I actually went into a Sony building. I've never been in a label building at all.
Wow.
Yeah. Considering all the other stuff,
I've never
been in a label building. So, we were doing that, going there, stuff, places. And I think 2 months after, December 2022, that's when Mixtape Madness came about. Mm.
Yeah. So, I'm assuming it's a thing where I've seen your work, seen what you do.
Nah.
Or, okay, cool. Alright, cool. I'm right. Alright, you cut. Yeah.
So like at this point, I've seen a job ad. There's a page called Young Music Boss.
Okay.
Yeah. So they've posted. Obviously, you know, there's an opportunity to do PR at Mixtape Madness.
Yeah.
And obviously, PR was a service that we wasn't offering at Dreamscape, and I thought, you know what? Yeah, let me just get some experience. Let me see what PR is actually about.
You never know what happens.
You never know what happens, and I got an email saying we want to interview and stuff.
Mm.
I did the interview, I think 2 or 3 weeks later, I got an email back saying we want you to be part of Mixtape Madness. And that was the first time I'd obviously been inside like a well-known brand. So I was like, you know what, let me just take it.
That's serious. Yeah. Now that's serious because the creative industry or the media industry, like quite often, you hear people say like it's word of mouth and I know someone, you got me in or thing, but like to hear that, well, just a role and you apply for it, it's good to see that side as well. Like you can just use your credentials to get in the door, do you know what I mean, and build. So how was starting at Mixtape Madness, how was that experience like?
It was good. Like obviously doing PR work is something different. Like PR is like reaching out to websites, magazines, obviously help with the roster to make sure they get like editorial like playlists, covers, pictures and stuff like that.
The irony, because I work in PR still.
It's crazy.
I work in PR, so mostly my clientele is every like it's corporate, so like a lot of spokespeople, interviews, broadcast interviews, editorial as well, so like get to newspapers. So that's side of things I'm very like familiar with, I'd say.
I'd say it can be daunting sometimes though, because it's like, you know, when you're sending out all these emails and not really getting responses, it's like,
and it's earned as well. So you got a journalist has to rate, like feel your pitch or be interested in what you're offering. Do you know what I mean?
That's the thing. And it's like when they get so many emails, it can just be like,
Then
you get like one thing I do rate that they did is that they got someone that obviously did PR for an artist called J.O.
Oh, yeah,
he
had yeah,
the
yeah,
song called 22 yeah. that went off, and she was in control of like his PR stuff.
J-O. I know J.O.
Yeah.
I just thought, like, I can't.
Yeah, the song goes like, you're 22.
Yeah. That one goes off. Yeah.
She just kind of, she kind of showed us like the tips and tricks she used and stuff like that. And really helpful.
Yeah. No, that's sick, man. Yeah. So, and then I'm assuming, so like, you know, when you're doing PR for artists, so at the time of Mixtape Madness,
yeah.
what, like, who was on the roster at the time?
Roster, we had artists, well, we still have these artists on the roster, like TS Lagger,
yeah,
I think Horrid One, Savo.
Oh, yeah, Savo. Oh, so you got the drills,
yeah, we had the drills.
Through the drillers, yeah. But, so what's it like getting PR for drillers, though? Like,
you kind of just have to show them, like, they're just normal people.
Yeah.
But obviously, I believe that the company themselves understood that, you know, just doing like bringing in PR people is a bit hard as well. So sometimes like we just work with external PR companies or like you know, press companies, and they will just help us.
They'll pattern you up.
Yeah.
It makes sense though. Yeah. So what would you say like is the most like hardest part or the most challenging part of being at A&R?
You know, we're still on the PR part.
I'm trying to get to that.
I was a PR for Mixtape for about 3 months, 2 months.
Okay, cool.
And then I switched to A&R.
Okay, how did that happen?
They just shouted me, though, like, you know, we think you'd be good for A&R because like they saw that I had like a lot of contacts, I believe, at the time. I don't know what their reason was.
Yeah.
But I just, yeah. Just
okay.
A&R. And from then, I became an A&R. But to actually answer your question,
yeah.
the hardest part of being an A&R, I'd say, is you know, convincing people to see a vision that you don't, that they don't. Because you might believe something will go off, but they
don't see the vision. I'm assuming like there's a lot of like pitching in terms of like this is my idea, like this is my vision, you gotta believe in it, like get on the train with me, like we're going somewhere.
100% because where the industry is now, I feel like they've kind of scrapped artist development.
Mm.
It's more or less like, what streams are you getting? What are you doing? It's really results orientated.
Yeah.
So there's not really the time to help develop artists.
And it's quite interesting because obviously when we had another one of our friends on, who's A&R, like he mentioned that as well. Like,
so how, I saw the video. That's how I commented. I saw the video.
Because it's like, that's kind of how the game is now. Do you think that's... what do you think the reason for that is? You think it's just like a shift in priorities and focus?
Yeah, 100%. And obviously where TikTok has now come about as well, it's like everyone is more or less on the app. Like everyone's looking for a quick win.
Yeah.
They're not really spending time to develop an artist over a long period of time.
Yeah.
It's like,
it's quite interesting because I think like, I guess my theory on it is that as the music industry has grown and grown and grown, and now the bar is higher in terms of the earning potential, I'd say. Yeah,
100%.
As you see more, you almost want to get there quicker and quicker and quicker. Yeah, yeah. So now, like, industry, A&Rs and labels, like, you see more, you're going to get there quicker and quicker and quicker. So, like the fastest way to get there, And then you keep trying to see the quickest way to get there because you're seeing more and more bread. It's like a cycle, isn't it? Like,
it's crazy.
So, I think it's nuts. But I think, I guess it's like, is a reality of industry. So in your opinion then, and also in your experience in the industry, like how would you say, if there was like up becoming artists, like how would you advise them to try and cut through in this thing?
I'd say, what I've always said to artists is that if you say you make music like a certain artist, maybe look at like 5 different artists similar to that artist and how they brand themselves.
That's quite true.
And obviously create your own brand.
Yeah.
Like create your own person using their brands as well.
Yeah.
Promote yourselves the way they promote themselves using the strategies and techniques they use.
Yeah.
And then kind of just diversify that across like social media platforms.
Yeah. That's quite interesting too. Because like so true like that. Quite often you got to look at what are the good things that other people are doing?
Yeah.
And how can I implement those good things? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's probably interesting. So then I'm assuming, so like this year so far, like we're 4 months into 2024.
Yeah.
How are you finding it? Like in a personal thing and also your like career as well. How you finding it overall?
Personal wise, I feel like it's one of those years where it's like, obviously you're growing up.
Yeah.
It's really that year to kind of just go for the stuff you want. I feel like kind of enter that selfish era, you know, like just focusing on yourself, having your head down. Yes, it's been going well so far.
Yeah. You mentioned that you recently came up in Paris.
Yeah.
How was that? What was that for?
A&R stuff as well.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. So with me, obviously I've got like a Francophone French background.
Yeah.
I'm from Congo and Angola.
Okay, makes sense.
And like French music is really like heavy to me. Like I really like the French music, the French industry scene. Like one of my goals this year was to try to be there more, build my network and obviously just mingle with more French people. And,
yeah.
Like around, I think I had this thought from like October 2023.
Mm.
And by then I think I probably just had like maybe one or two French contacts, but
yeah.
From that period to now, it's built, like I've probably got over like 100 plus and
yeah.
I don't even know how I did that. It just sort of happened. And it's crazy because now it's like you're in the room with like all these big artists from France, like some artists to mention, like, I don't know if you know someone like Arisco.
There's
him.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Who else did I see over the week? There was Arisco. There was Jengeli.
I think I know about him. I think I've heard of him.
That artist, he's been number one in France on the singles charts for 35 weeks. 35 now.
Right.
There was him. There was Taiki as well. I've met him. Like, it's crazy. Yeah,
there's a lot, yeah. Now, I sick to hear that, and I feel like as you build and you touch into like other markets, it can really start to scale up, innit? Yeah, 100%. Now, that's sick, man. And it's sick to see like that, the growth, especially like starting in uni as well. Like quite often how, like, I'd say people in our community are like uni, just messing around, you're messing around. And then maybe by 24, 25, 26, now you've started to think about, okay, now I want to do, but it's sick to hear that from young, you kind of have that vision, cool, let me run with it.
But you know what's crazy? Like, when I went to uni, I never wanted to be
in
music. I didn't even care about music like that. Like, I think it was just up until when I posted that snippet on Twitter.
That's when I just said, let me just see it. See where it goes, man.
Yeah.
How I've always viewed it, like, dreams or, like, ambitions, and this is, like, a thought that I've had for a while now, is, like, how I've viewed it is, like, in 5 years' time, or in 10 years' time, I don't want to look back and think, oh, man.
I wish I did.
You could have gone more.
Yeah,
like, you could have gone harder, man. Yeah. Like, you didn't really go for it. Like, you didn't really say, forget what everyone's thinking. Yeah. I don't care if I get embarrassed. I'm going for it.
Yeah.
That's what, like, that's something that kind of scares me. Like, I don't want to look back and
that's 20, the thing,
like,
running,
like, oh, man, you didn't really go for it, bro.
That's the thing.
You didn't go for that dream. Like, because, and how deep it now is, like, we're in our, like,
early 20s, mid 20s,
like,
mid-20s,
guys are young, you got energy, you got time, like, go for things that you want to go for. Yeah, like, that's how I view it. Like, a dream, bro, like, you go for things that you want to go for, because, like, you don't look back in 5-10 years' time, it's like, man, like, when I had all that time, like, what did I really, of course, enjoy life always. I enjoy life, like, go on trips and stuff, but, like, go for something you want to go for, man. Yeah. It's important still. It's sick to hear that still. I know, obviously, you on like you're quite big on your like fitness content as well.
Yeah,
I saw recently.
You know, I just started all of that this year.
I saw a quote that you said and the steps that I've taken to reduce my body fat.
Yeah,
to less than 13%.
Yeah,
how did that happen?
Because you know, like when I started uni, like I was obviously playing football for the uni team and stuff like
that.
And I've always had like a sports background, so I haven't really been like big or anything, so that kind of helped me as well.
Yeah,
so I think it just got to a point where it's like I started, do you know who it was?
Mm.
It was the Eddie guy from TikTok. That's who it was. That's who it was. Like, he kept popping up on my For You page, and I was like, let me actually take in the content. And I was actually listening to what he said, and like, it made a lot of sense.
Yeah, I've been seeing a lot about him recently. Yeah. Man. I've seen bare stuff. Is he serious?
I've
never really tapped into his stuff.
His stuff serious. Like, I feel like some of the things he says, he goes over the top. But when you actually look at the finer things of it, like the
fundamentals of it,
it makes sense.
Fair play. Fair play. I see that you're into your books.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same.
Big book, man.
What are a few of your favorite books?
Say Surrounded by Idiots.
I'm Idiots.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So it's the book is called Surrounded by Idiots, right?
Yeah.
And it's just basically saying that no one's an idiot. like, it's the best way to divide people is to look at them, to divide them by colors. Mm. And then the colors is green, red, yellow, and blue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. But like, what do those colors mean?
So like, a red one is like a more dominant person.
Yeah.
Blue is analytic. Green is like a person that is like, they're always available to help. And yellow is like the person that like jokes around the most.
Mm, yeah. Fair
it's
play.
Like the charisma person.
Yeah. No, that's quite interesting still. A book that I'm currently reading, and I'd probably say is my favorite book in terms of the insights that I've got from it, is it's called Business Secrets from the Bible by Rabbi Daniel Lapin. Sick book. The insights from the Bible are crazy.
What's it called again?
Business Secrets from the Bible. It's sick.
That's a catchy title.
Yeah.
That is catchy.
Business Secrets from the Bible. I would say the most important thing that I've learned from it so far is that in order to have freedom, you have to restrict yourself.
Mm.
So it basically, here's an example. So let's say you've got a calendar, right? And you're looking at your next week.
Yeah.
Your next week is all full. Yeah. It's all full of like, no, sorry, it's empty. Sorry. Yeah. It's empty. It's a free week. You got night on Monday all the way to Sunday, yeah? You'd think that's freedom. You got night on.
Yeah.
But really and truly, that's not freedom because you don't have anything that's going to restrict your time to achieve anything. Mm. So he teaches in the book that, bro, like, if you want to have freedom, you have to restrict your time. So let's say, for example, I've got a pod. So let's say I got restricted time, so I'll say, I have to put an hour of my time where I'm not doing anything else but recording. Now I've achieved something.
Yeah.
You don't get freedom without a restriction of time, achieving something, and then moving on.
Yeah.
So it's like, is the idea of not thinking that, oh, I just want to have freedom and not have anything to do, but really and truly, you need to restrict your time in certain areas to achieve things and to really have freedom, right? Because it isn't freedom that's doing anything, laying around all day. So that's something that I've loved from that book. Like, restrict your freedom, achieve. Restrict your freedom, achieve. Is sick still. But yeah, there's better books that I've enjoyed. I'm quite big on autobiographies. I'm quite big on autobiographies. Sick, so sick. I've read a few, autobiography, Carlo Ancelotti's, who was Kevin Hart, his one's sick. I'm quite big on those still. Right? It's sick to be reading, man. It's great still.
I'm actually ordered that book.
Yeah. I'll show it to you after still. It's sick. Yeah, it's sick. It's a sick Bible. I said Bible, I'm book still. You may as well get into our Hot Topics lineup, man.
Sick.
Hot Topics lineup is basically like a segment where we go through like a few of the topics that have been going around recently in the past few weeks and see get our thoughts on it. So this is one that I saw recently and I came across it at work actually. So it was a study from the FCA and it said that 1 in 9 people have missed the bill in the last half a year, whilst a staggering 14.6 million people are not coping financially in the UK. So it's heavy, man. How do you feel about personal finance, the economy, and like how you navigate that? Like, what's your viewpoint on it?
I feel like the UK is just in a spliff right now. Like, I just feel like you can't just limit yourself to just one job
or
like just
doing
one thing and stuff. Like, I feel like God's given us many skills and many talents, and like you need to tap into that. Even if it's not in the UK, like maybe go abroad.
Mm.
Network of people, like try to do something different, you know?
Yeah,
because like, for example, like people that own brands, they don't just want to distribute in the UK, they want to like find
take it partners, further, right?
Different partners,
take it bigger. Yeah.
I feel like where the UK is going right now, I don't know, man.
It's
evident that a lot of people are suffering,
like,
I just hope that you'll kind of just get through it.
Yeah. Is there anything like, how do you approach savings and like building and ensuring that like, rah, like I'm cool for a rainy day? Like, what's your approach on that?
So the sort of person I am, I'll be honest, yeah. Like, if I have money in my account, sometimes I could just spend.
Yeah.
But, like, the way I approach it, like, I'll take out everything I have in my account. Mm. I'll just probably just leave it under my bed or something.
Why you like that?
Yeah, because...
That's old school, right?
Yeah, because if you think about it, yeah.
That's old school.
On the weekend, the banks are closed. Mm. So it's like, when you want to tap your card to obviously go out and spend stuff,
yeah.
You can't order food online and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's
how do you mean you can't order food online?
Like, because for example, delivery, right?
Yeah.
If the banks are closed on the weekends, you can't. And you have no money in your account.
In your account. You're forced to be broke. I'm thinking, okay, I get you. I was just saying that you can't put my money into account. Yeah, okay, cool. I hate
like,
you.
You're kind of forced to be broke for that weekend and stuff like
wow,
that.
Wow, you do that?
Yeah, like...
that's crazy, bro.
I can't lie, like, that it's worked.
Yeah.
It's worked.
It restricts you.
Yeah,
it restricts you. Because you still spend, but yeah. Not as much. Yeah,
not as much.
I hear you.
You're not forced to obviously go out and do whatever.
To be tapping. Yo, yeah. In the contact, you need to be tapping anyhow,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah. So, like, that's kind
that's
of...
That's crazy. Well, yeah. I said, he puts bread under his bed. It's helped. That's sick.
It's helped, but... Yeah, like, that's probably, like, one of the main techniques I use, you know? Like,
yeah.
If I actually need it, I'll put it in, I'll take it out. It's long, but,
yeah. Fair play. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be real, yeah. On TikTok, yeah, I've been seeing this thing, and, like, and the white ladies do it a lot. It's like a book. You might have seen it. It's like a book, and it's, like, you put a certain amount of cash into the book for each day.
Is it?
Or I think it's, like, each week, and then over the course of, like, a half a year period or, like, a year period, you saved up X amount. It's like a thing, and it's like, but how I see it is like,
is it the one of the plastic
ones? Yeah, I've seen it. And like, you put like a £5 in there, a £10 in there, and it builds over time. It's like, but personally, like, I've never been into having cash. I can't be asked to have cash, man. It's jarring, but it does. I think there's value in like having it and seeing it.
Yeah.
Because honestly, like, you know, when all of your money is just in the account, like. Sometimes it feels distant. Yeah, like it feels like it's just there. That's why you feel like you can just spend because it doesn't feel like real money. You're just spending it. Whereas you got cash in your hand, you're a lot more cautious with it, I'd say. Do you know what I mean?
So let it go down.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's very interesting still. Now that's funny, man. I'm hearing about the bed fist. That's funny still. Another one though that I've seen recently. You see the thing about Young T and Bugsy.
No, what happened to them?
It's quite interesting. Let me actually get up. It was so basically it was there was a report going on. I think he did an interview. I think Young T he did an interview, and he was talking about how he didn't make any bread from Don't Rush. Don't Rush.
Yeah. That's kind of interesting.
And then I think there were three people who were like doing the maths on Twitter, innit? And saying like, rah, like, you should have got X amount based on the X per Spotify, you know, I know it's all like, you know what I mean? And it's like, he was saying that in the interview that, oh, like, he didn't get anything from that tune. I was like, rah, like, how is that deal structured?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I wonder what they signed for then.
Yeah.
No advance?
Or... Yeah, do you know what I mean? So, but it's interesting though, like, in your, I guess, point of view and in your experience, what are the, like, pitfalls that artists can fall into if they aren't careful with their deal structuring?
I feel like you have to have a lawyer with these sort of things.
Mm.
Because when you're offered, like, an X amount of money, like, sometimes, if you've never been offered that money, like, it can just excite you straight away and you can just sign or whatever because you might think the opportunity might just go.
Yeah.
But I think it just depends on the sort of deal you sign because and the royalty percentage and stuff as well, you know.
Yeah. So royalty percentage. So I'm assuming that's the percentage of my catalogue that I essentially own, right?
Yeah, basically. Yeah.
It's quite interesting because J. Cole, he's my favourite rapper,
same,
by the way.
Same.
Is it? You've been
from Forest Hill Drive.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. But then even at Friday Night Lights. I'm back then.
Oh, you're old school.
I'm old school.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm old school.
I mean, you might have to dive into that.
I'm old school.
How are you feeling about the recent?
I haven't actually listened to it. That's the thing.
Okay.
I'm not really trying to base his fame or like, how he's viewed just because of apologising to Kendrick.
Yeah.
I don't really care what people say.
You don't care about it. You know, I'll be real, yeah. I've been conflicted about it for a little while, yeah. But I'll be real, like, the project is just too good for me to leave it back, like leave him behind. And it's been so many years that I've been listening to this artist, and he's got me through so many times with his music and content and delivery and his skill. I can't let this one, I can't let this one, I guess, L or mishap throw that in the bin. I just can't. So I'm riding with it, man. Dreamville forever, man. Dreamville forever, baby. Because it's like, I can't, like, all that he's done, his whole catalogue, even like you said, and the mixtapes, Friday Night Lights, the come up.
You can't throw that.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I can't throw that away. So how I'm viewing it right now, I don't like that he apologized personally, because it's like, bro, like, firstly, this weren't that deep.
Nah.
And secondly, Kendrick came for you. Thirdly, if you're at the elite level and you want to compete, you can't be doing that, because now you can't. And I've been seeing a lot of people say, oh, I can't even, like, his lyrics, I can't really even take them in as much as, or the same, because, like, you back down to the battle. And I've kind of felt that slightly in my heart, slightly. But then I put it to the side and say, this guy's an elite rapper. He's an elite rapper, so I just firm it. But onto what we're chatting about, though, the deal, like, it just seemed crazy. It's not loading now, but it just seemed crazy, like, that. On that tune, that was massive.
That was a massive.
That tune went that world. What that tune?
Do you know what's actually crazy?
Yeah.
I actually came across their Spotify profile. I don't know if it was this week or last week, and I was actually looking at the streams as well.
Is it?
I don't know about this, but I was looking at the streams. They did the French remix.
Yeah.
There were so many different remixes to that song.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they all went off.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, So I've got the tweet up now. So, Mimi, the music blogger, tweeted that, Young T and Bugsy made no money, huh? It's just Spotify alone. The original and remix got 323 million streams. And so apparently on Spotify, for every 100 streams, you get 34p. So if you do the maths, that's 1.1 mil. So that's why it was like, damn, like, how did you not get anything from that? But again, the advance might have been.
Got a hefty advance.
Do you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
Yeah, so like, it's mad interesting, but yeah, like, on your point though, yeah, like, having a lawyer is important. But if you're an upcoming artist, you might not have bread for a lawyer though.
But
you how do you navigate that if you don't have bread for a lawyer, bro?
But do you know what's crazy? Like, if you're signing to a record label, most of them, like, they will cover the lawyer fees.
Okay.
Yeah,
but isn't that a bit weird?
Yeah, like.
On their side, though, if they cover it, surely, like, you think they can chat to the lawyer and say, blow.
Yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It feels a bit.
That was a very techie situation.
You know what I mean? Yeah. But, nah, man, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. Have you heard about the situation with Stormzy and Bugsy?
Again?
I don't think it's even a big deal, if I'm honest, but I've heard that, like.
I heard of it. I heard it.
Yeah, that, like, Bugsy sent shots to Stormzy, about. Something about Maya. I don't know, man. It just feels a bit redundant, bro.
Yeah, like, it's feels not like what it was back in the days when everyone was hyped.
Yeah.
Everyone's kind of just forgot about it, yeah.
You know what's so interesting? I think the culture has kind of moved from, like, away from it. But the UK culture.
Yeah, we don't really.
Yeah, like, it's not like. It doesn't feel like there's any hype around it. Yeah. I think the only thing that we have time for in terms of clashes, like Chip, whenever Chip's about.
That's a big one, yeah.
The culture things. Yeah. But if I'm honest, to be fair, how do you feel about the UK scene right now, bro? how do you feel with this scene right now, bro?
I feel like the scene, I don't really like the UK scene. But I feel like it's also a case where a lot of good artists are just not being heard enough.
Yeah.
A lot of the big artists as well. The big artists are probably the ones that are just keeping up right now. But there's a lot of good music that's just not being heard.
Being heard, yeah, so true. I think, you know what it is, yeah? In the UK, we have so much talent. It's unreal.
So much, yeah.
Like, honestly, like, there's so many artists who are so good. But I think with how I approach the UK scene, it's like, I take the artists that I like and I just hold on to them.
Yeah.
And all you man that are doing your thing, I'm all good. Do you know what I mean?
Because,
someone can, an artist like Nux, for example, sick artist. He's someone that, like, you see him, you find him, you listen to him, and you hold him. Do you know what I mean? And everyone knows you might do your thing.
Yeah, you do your thing.
Someone like I'd say Eni. You know about Emmy? Yeah, sick
she
rapper.
Dropped a tune of Odor on that tune.
Yeah, a sick rapper, yeah. She's someone, again, you see her, you grab her, you hold her, and you don't let no one, because, like, there aren't that many gems in the UK.
Yeah, there's not.
So, like, you know, another artist that I love, Loyal Kana. Oh, I like him. He's a UK rapper. He's someone that's like, he's sick, you grab him, you hold him. But, like, as a whole, I'm not sure about the scene right now. But you just got to take your gems and hold on to them. You got to take your gems. Yeah. But who are the few artists that you rock with, though?
In the UK?
Yeah. Both.
To say in the UK, I actually like a lot of Clavish. You know?
Clavish, okay. Are you serious? Yeah. He does take.
Other than Clavish, like Heady.
Yeah, he dropped his trailer, right?
It's crazy.
How are you feeling about it? Because apparently it's gonna be I guess like the one part two, or like the one, you know, on what's that tape called? You know, it's classic tape that dropped in like 2017 or something.
It was Driller Sex Trappers, or was that?
No, that's a classic, but he dropped that with
RV.
But then the album. It's the one, right?
The one. I think that's the one. Yeah.
And then one intro, I think he's doing like a part two of it. That's what the whole project is based around. Yeah. So it's looking sick. And the trailer looked good. So, and we'll see what it comes out with, man. Yeah.
Sick.
Yeah. He's doing his thing. I think also he's got, he had a label as well for a bit, innit?
Yeah, he was at Relentless.
Yeah.
I don't know what his situation was.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
Yeah, but he was at Relentless for a bit as well.
Yeah. But then he had one record, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think Desi was on that. A few other guys might have been on that.
I believe so, yeah.
But I have to think of labels, like, how I see it is, like, you can have a period where there's guys on it, but then if it gets a bit dry, like, as a label, like, how do you... You've got an artist who they're, like, their fandom is like, I guess it's plateauing and it's not really like building, or it's getting worse, or they aren't getting traction anymore. Like, how does a label deal with that?
To be fair, with most labels I've seen, they'll just kind of like come up with marketing ideas and stuff, but at the end of the day, I feel like it's down to the artist. Like, a label can only just do so much. They can throw their ideas and stuff, but if the artist isn't willing to obviously match that sort of level, then
there's
not much they can do. But if I was obviously looking from the outside in, I'd tell them to like go build a fan base elsewhere, you know, go collab with other people and branch out and stuff.
Branch out, yeah, 100%.
You know, like for example, with what like Central C's done, his. That one is crazy.
Props
man.
To him, man. Props, yeah. Like, his, you know, like, with his rise, like, how do you think it was so, like, how do you think he was able to cut through how he did? Do you think it was just so unique in terms of a style? Like, how do you think he was able to, from your point of view, like, his impact in that period of time as well?
I don't think anyone would have expected him to go to the level he's got, because I check his monthly listeners in comparison to like a lot of other UK artists. I think when I checked this week, it was, I think, on 23 million monthly listeners.
Yeah.
For like some of the big acts we've got here, the highest it kind of goes up to is like within his like genre, right?
Yeah.
In the UK, some of them go up to like maybe, I think Tion's might have been like 6 to 8 mil.
Yeah.
But even that is good as well.
Very good.
But for Sench to be on 23 mil, and obviously someone like Lil Durk, I think, is on 24, 26 listeners. It's like,
it goes to show. So Sench is on 24.6 mil. Yeah. But you know what's crazy for him? I think how he did it.
It's crazy.
Because I think, you know, with him, he didn't only, because of, like, he's naturally he's mixed race, right? Well, not that, but like he's got the, I guess, the mix, because he's white looking, but he's got the brand and image of someone in the culture. The brand and image is someone in the culture. He's infused in culture, the trap culture as well. So that kind of played in his part, like, as his brand started to grow, because it's like, cool, he's going to get the white audience as well, but he's also going to get the black audience because how he brands himself, the culture, and the things that he raps about, all his boys are black.
Yeah.
So, like, you kind of got the best of both worlds. And I kind of, you notice that, like, with a lot of artists, you kind of straddle those two worlds. They usually bank big because you can get a lot of the white audience, and you even get that Asian audience as well because of where you come from. And then it's like a recipe for like going clear. So I think it's sick how he's done his thing, though, man. You got to respect it. It's serious.
Like,
it's like
the branding. Like, I think there was even a point when he released the album called Wild West.
Yeah.
Like, even I remember everything that I used to see at the time, orange, you just orange. Associate Central C. I was thinking,
you gotta rate that marketing and branding, man. That's top level. Top like level. Even the like in the music videos, the billboards, the cars, everything. It was infectious. Like you knew, okay, Karah, this is his thing.
That's his thing.
You gotta rate it, man. You gotta respect the business. You gotta respect it, man. Nah, it's serious seeing people cut through at a scene like that still, man. But yeah, man. Bro, I appreciate you for jumping on, man. It was a sick conversation, man. Is there anything that like you want your audience to know, like the any work that's coming soon or anything you'd like to leave, or is it all still?
I should not ask you a question, you know.
No, bro.
What's your favorite J. Cole song?
Ooh. So my favorite J. Cole song, there's so many in it, but a song that I hold quite dear to my heart is, he did a song with Koz in it. He's on Dreamville, yeah. It's years ago now. It's called Don't Knock the Hustle Remix. And his verse on that, honestly, is like unreal. Like his storytelling on it, his cadence, his bars, his flow, everything is like elite. I think it's one of the like his best verses ever.
Yeah.
It's one of the verses that like when I get my own home, I'll have it put on the wall.
Yeah.
Like it's that level. I'm gonna get that verse put on the wall because like it's that serious. But yeah, so Don't Knock the Hustle Remix featuring J. Cole is like his favorite, like in terms of a verse of his that I just love, and then in terms of like a song that I love, I'd probably say Love Yours, Four Wheel Drive. Beautiful song. How about
top
you?
Top song. I'd say for me, obviously when I started listening to J. Cole, Four Wheel Drive.
Yeah,
all the songs there,
classics in there,
classic songs. But if I want to say my favorite song, I have to say Dead Presidents.
The President. Ooh, oh, well, you know what? Old school. Yeah, I know. You know the old school?
Old school.
Oh.
I'm old school, yeah.
You know the irony of that, yeah? The irony of that is that, you know, when I was driving here, I was thinking about like Cole's career and how I started listening to him, yeah? And honestly, when I was in sixth form, I used to work in Shoe. Shoe Lakeside. So sometimes I would, I'd go from sixth form, I'd go and work, and then go home in it. And then there's some days where the shop floor is like quiet.
Yeah.
Night going on, it's quiet, yeah. Honestly, in my mind, I'm reciting that whole freestyle. And you know what it is, yeah? Back then, someone on YouTube put part 1, 2, and 3 all together. Ooh. So I downloaded that whole track. Ooh. And the part 1, the part 2, and 3. I'll just drop that freestyle. I'd just be like rapping it in my mind because it was just that good. Like he was that good. So I say that to say, that's why it's Dreamville Forever.
Yeah, Dreamville Forever.
Dreamville. But that's a classic freestyle.
It's a classic one.
That's a classic freestyle. It's classic. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If you was to say album, I'd say either Forest Hill Drive,
K.O.D.
Or,
I like K.O.D.
What's the other one? The one where Cole's sitting in a chair. And then on the song, I think there's Crooked Smell. That's
Born Sinner.
Yeah, Born Sinner.
Born Sinner. That's a bad album as well. Yeah, yeah. That's a sick album as well. Yeah, man. He's got a great catalogue, man. Like, I can't... It's Dreamville Forever because I don't rate his decision, but I can't turn my back on the catalogue of work.
No, 100%.
I can't.
Yeah,
I just can't.
He's done a lot.
I can't. And even, you know, you get around to listen to the his latest project. It's serious as well. Serious stuff, man. Stuff, man. But yeah, serious. But I appreciate you for jumping on, bro.
Nah, bro, anytime, jump on, man. For having me, honestly.
Of course, bro. And guys, of course, if you like the episode, ensure that you like, you comment, you subscribe. We've got more conversations coming. We've got more insightful conversations with people who just do interesting things, man. Do things that are worth speaking about. Have a journey that's worth exploring, right? So ensure that you stay tapped in. But make sure that you guys subscribe though, because not enough people subscribe. But you guys watch, but you guys don't subscribe, bro.
Subscribe.
You guys don't subscribe. So make sure you're subscribed. Man. We've got more conversations coming. And Dreamville, man, chase your dreams, man.
For real,
you don't want to look back. You don't want to look back in 5 years, 10 years, 15 years time, and you think to yourself, I could have gone harder. That's how we're gonna end it, man. Have a blessed week, people, man. Peace.